All right, good morning, class. Welcome back to Therapeutic Exercise in the November 9 Physical Therapy Specialty Course. 303 or 8466, as you will, right? So we're going to knock out some balance and proprioception exercise principles. So I think you guys should have a good sense of what balance is. Balance can be compromised by a lot of things, but in the clinic, oftentimes we see vestibular or brain issues. As people age, their balance is decreased because as they get older, their muscles start to degrade and their motor controls start to degrade, and falling becomes a very real issue. But in our healthy, active duty, reserve, guard population, we'll see balance problems after injury. And there's this huge term, proprioception. Proprioception is a static reference. It's a static reference that has to do with your body's ability to know where your joints are in space. That sounds pretty big, and that's going to be a cool party term. You know, when you're at the parties on the weekends and evenings and whenever you will, you could throw out the term proprioception and sound like doctors. It's all about impressing people, right? But proprioception, and I'll give you an example. Again, if I close my eyes and I raise my arm and my shoulder 90 degrees forward flexion, I should be able to know where that's at. And I open it, Shazam, check that out. You know, that's pretty powerful. I have good proprioception in my shoulder mechanoreceptors. But when you become injured, and I was mentioning it a little bit yesterday, when you become injured, whether your joints take on a lot of inflammation or a lot of pain, those activities that once were familiar and very easy, if they're not retrained and become familiar again in a clinical setting, they could become difficult, and then you risk the opportunity for re-injury. And the best example I can give is when we have ankle injuries. That's a very common injury, right? You get a big old ankle sprain. Its bark is worse than its bite. You get a lot of inflammation. Might have been a grade 1, grade 2, but there's a lot of inflammation because you're on your feet or on the deck the whole night and everything. And you get over the pain. Your strength feels pretty good and your range of motion is good, but when you go out and try to do a relatively familiar task like jogging or walking an uneven terrain, it feels like you're walking on eggshells and you roll your ankle very easily and you're back to the jump street. It's because your proprioception, those mechanoreceptors in and around your joint, weren't retrained. So in the clinic, what we do is introduce progressively easy to harder activities in a controlled setting that are pretty stable, that become progressively unstable, and it's making the unfamiliar tasks familiar again. And as soon as you get good at them, we throw more things at you to make it more difficult, because we want to go above and beyond what you would see in everyday life, so you're rock solid with your mechanical and proprioceptors, okay? So we're going to have a fun lab today. We'll take some of our gear. One by one, we'll all take a toy up with us, and we'll take a very simple approach on how you introduce balance and proprioception exercises. I can tell you, it is one of the most neglected aspects of physical therapy, therapeutic intervention. But it's one of the most important. If you were to ask me what's more important at your ankle for therapeutic exercise, I would tell you range of motion and proprioception, because you're going to gradually get your functional strength back. A lot of folks will concentrate on range of motion and strength only and neglect that proprioception. And it's oftentimes those folks that we see coming back with chronic ankle sprains, okay? So proprioception. Let's go and knock this out. You can read about this in your respective handouts. I know you guys are spending a lot of time each evening reading your terminal learning objectives, reading your learning steps, and I'm proud of you. So we don't need to do that in class, right? There's some more learning steps. Okay, let's look at this balance definition. Balance is the ability to maintain equilibrium, or maintain the center of gravity, COG, C-O-G, within the base of support. So those are terms you see repetitively. Center of gravity, base of support. Check out that little guy. That's amazing. I can't do that. Wicked. Wicked. Postural sway. It's normal. Postural sway is normal. We're all standing in formation, and I dare say that Navy even stands in formation, so don't worry about it, Army. From time to time, you will see your Navy and Coast Guard brethren in formation. But when you're standing there for a little while, and you're at parade rest, because there's an E7 or above that really likes to hear themselves talk, you kind of see something like this, right? And you're making fine-tuned adjustments. Your knees aren't locked, because today's going to be 95. If you lock your knees too long, it's always fun to watch those Joes during the change of command ceremonies. But you're standing there, and you're making minute corrections. And postural sway is normal. It's normal, okay? You think that would be a take-home message? Yeah, probably. But it's a continuous shifting of the body's... What's COG again? I'm glad you told me because I forgot already. But center of gravity over your base of support. So base of support, when you're standing at attention, which, does that ever happen in the Navy? Sometimes, right? I'm joking. God bless the United States Navy. But when you're standing really close with your feet together, heels and feet together, your base of support's very narrow. So your postural sway increases because you're really trying to shift your constant, you know, your center of gravity over that balance of support. Balance is maintained when sway is within 12 to 16 degrees of your limits of stability. I don't know if you really have to worry about 12 to 16 degrees. Just know that it sounds small, but if you put yourself 12 to 16 degrees, 360, you got a big range of where you could sway, right? Coordination, ability to perform smooth, accurate, and controlled motions. So who cares about coordination? Well, my twin does, Mr. Garrett. But when it's not working, when you see compromised coordination, it's devastating. And we see that in Parkinsonism. We see that in the elderly. We see that in head injury patients. And it's very easy to see someone when they don't have coordinated movement. It becomes a very difficult life for them. But there's a lot of things going on. When you think about coordination, you're thinking about sequencing and timing and really developing enough stability to stay safe. So human balance components, there's three components of balance. And if you take out any one of these, you're compromised. So these are straightforward. These are very straightforward. Like if you were to close your eyes and try to do things of everyday life, your balance becomes compromised, right? So in the clinic, you're going to see a very easy practical application. We'll make you do a single leg stance, right? You're doing a single leg stance. Our goal is to make you be able to do a single leg stance for 1 minute with your eyes open with no miscues. A miscue would be bringing your leg out more than 45 degrees of abduction, touching down, maybe your legs touching together or having to take your hands off your hips. So once you're able to do that with no difficulty, we'll make it difficult how? Close your eyes. Okay, you're stealing my thunder. We haven't gotten there yet. But just closing your eyes, taking that one component of your balance away, will make the exercise difficult. So I'm already giving you guys clinical tools here. There's a lot of things that we can do in the clinic that if they're easy with your eyes open, you have them close your eyes. Whatever you do, don't have them close their eyes when they throw the ball at the trampoline and it comes back, okay? I tried that a couple times and almost developed some lawsuits, but there are some things you don't want to close your eyes. So somatosensory, proprioception. Proprioception is your ability of your body. It's a static reference. It's not kinesthesia, all right? Kinetic means what? Movement. You see kinetic, there's some movement. It's not kinesthesia. It's not your body's ability to know what's going on when you're moving. It's a static reference. But it's a static reference to know where your joints are in space, all right? And then vestibular. We have the cranial nerve 8. We have some things in our middle ear that are more of a central nervous system reference. And I don't know if anybody's ever had vestibular problems, but it's common after a head injury. It's common after our blast injuries. It's common after getting a good knock that your central nervous system, your cranial nerve 8, will get a good ring. If you've ever had an ear infection or some pressure building up in your ear, oftentimes the middle ear's vestibular system can get a little messed up. One time when I was a young lad, somehow after subsequent ear infections from swimming, remember that kid, that nerd that ran around with a cotton ball in his ear all summer? That was me. So somehow that cotton ball went into my ear. And we didn't know about it until I had a lot of balance problems, okay? So extract that cotton ball. It's like this, looked like a kidney bean by the time they took that waxy thing out. But they took that thing out, my balance was good to go. So, weird. So don't be that kid. Visual gathers external reference. This is pretty straightforward. This is one of those terms, visual, that we like to put a lot of big words to it. But you have to think that it orients the head to maintain a level gaze. You know, if your head's level, your middle ear's level, and your cranial nerve number 8 gets to do its job. Okay. When someone has compromised vision, then it compromises your balance. All right. Provides information about the speed and direction of motion, which is important. So I would say vision is important, right, sports fans? So let's check out these two definitions because you will see them again. And this is like one of those test questions that you get wrong, and then everybody will be like, "Oh, we got that wrong." And then Commander Rigsby will have to make a decision, and he'll want to give credit for both answers because you mixed up kinesthesia and proprioception. And I'll have to say, "Sir, I stood up here and I told them proprioception was a static reference. It provides static reference or relative position of body parts. And sir, I also told them definitively that kinesthesia provides dynamic reference of moving joints." And he'll say, "Well, young William, if that's what you told them, then that 59% of the people that got the question wrong will have to still get it wrong. And then we'll move on." So don't get that wrong. All right? Kinesthesia, and this is a teaching point for me because maybe I fouled the last class, but it means movement. It's a dynamic moving thing. Okay? Any questions about that? Processed via the dorsal column medial lemniscal pathway to the medulla and brain stem. Wow. Okay. The quickest system for control. So this is happening way quicker than we can process sometimes. And if it's disrupted, it becomes very obvious to that astute clinician that you guys will become. So vestibular, you have the vestibular ocular reflex and the vestibular spinal reflex. So this is an internal reference to the orientation of the head in space and acceleration. Now, if one is off, they'll all start to get compromised, and the other ones have to work harder. So there's movement strategies to maintain balance, and we'll go over each one. There's an ankle, there's a hip, and there's a stepping. And I like demonstrating these. And we'll get our film crew involved here because they'll have to follow me around a little bit. But which strategy you use depends on the intensity of the disruption, your subject's awareness, and your subject's posture at the time. So let's talk about the ankle strategy. This is very straightforward. It's the most common. This is you and I standing in formation. Okay? It's for small protuberances. A protuberance is a disruption in your balance. So I'm in formation, okay? And maybe someone just pushes on my back real quick to let me know that the sergeant major's coming. Okay, so I just kind of correct myself right at my ankles, right? I just have to kind of just make a quick little adjustment, and then I straighten up and get ready for the sergeant major, right? Or the master chief is coming, right? That's some scary stuff right there, I'll tell you. See those two stars on top of that anchor? But so you're just making a quick ankle correction, right? So I'm kind of getting a little sleepy while I'm standing up. My eyes are closed. And then I make an ankle strategy correction, right? Easy. So it's just it's used for small perturbations. Perturbations is anything that kind of can take you out of your center of gravity or your base of support. So we use perturbations in the clinic, all right? We have our patient in front of us. They're doing a postural activity. Their eyes are closed, and we're kind of coming around them and touching other different parts of their body to try to take them out of their center of gravity. Perturbations. You can use that term right up there with proprioception at the party, and they will think you're a doctor, okay? So it's a mechanism. It's posterior displacement. It's primarily dorsiflexion, but it's happening right there at the ankle, all right? Now, hip strategy. This is larger perturbations. It's when the ankle motion is limited or the ankle activity or the ankle strategy is not enough to help you maintain your balance. All right? Now, this is me. I'm in formation. And that cat that had their legs locked, they just lose it and they fall into me. And they're not as big and strong as I am, but their momentum has gotten me. And I have to, like, hip to stay up. Okay? Now, it's not happening at the ankles. I really have to go outside of my center of gravity and catch myself at the hips. Well, oftentimes, you see this someone's off the edge of the pool, right? And they got all their clothes on and they're checking how nice the water is. And we're going to push them. And what's the first thing they do before they go in? They try their hip strategy, but it won't work. You know what I mean? So their hip strategy failed them, right? Whoa, whoa. And then they go in the drink. So what you see is a lot of displacement corrected by contracting the abdominal and the quadriceps muscle. And then the hamstrings will kick in, the paraspinals, and everything goes well. You don't go in the drink. You guys been to Anaconda, right? In Balad. Is that pool still up and running? Yeah. Okay, I hated that pool. You know, that place, that pool got, that area got mortared more than any. And you don't want to be in the water when a mortar goes off because there's all that negative energy. I used to call that place Torpedo Pool. So I swam in it a couple times, but you know the water quality is not that good. So, but yeah, I was thinking of the pool and I start thinking about you guys hanging out there. But it's a nice reprieve, right? Did you guys swim in that pool? No? Was it pretty nice?
When it was actually open.
Yeah. Yeah, and you see some of your brothers and sisters going in there, and you're like, I ain't swimming in this thing no more. But that's cool. Yeah, I tell you, go Army. See? So, stepping strategy. This is one, the ankle and the hip strategy fails, right? Now, I'm in formation. Master Chief comes up, sees I'm all jacked up, and he grabs me by the collar and he pulls me his way, right? And then he's a much stronger, salty dog than I am. And then I got a step to go to where he's bringing me, right? So now the hip and the ankles are failing, and if I don't step out, I'm going to go face down, right? So pretty straightforward, right? All right, wow. This is a busy slide. But we have to find objective, measurable ways in the clinic to tell if our patients have bad balance or not good balance or compromised balance. The Romberg test is probably our most common. You see it on sobriety tests. You have people put their arms at 90 degrees, palms up, and it depends how you do it. But you have them look up to the ceiling, close their eyes, and they shouldn't be swaying all over the place, right? You've seen this, right? Maybe Mel Gibson doing a sobriety test there on E. No, I'm only kidding, but if someone's swaying all over the place, they may have compromised balance, okay? This is something we do on the sidelines with the rugby players. If I do a Romberg's on the sideline, they're all over the place, they can't go back in. When a boxer comes off, you know, we have them rub their gloves. We have them do a quick Romberg's. If they're swaying all over the place, they most likely have a concussion. All right. The functional reach test, this is a test where you actually have people stand. There's markings on the wall in inches, and a normal person should be able to reach out so far without losing it, without using the stepping strategy, right? Not that big of a deal for folks that have normal posture, but you take someone with a concussion or a traumatic brain injury or an older person, that functional reach test works good. This timed up and go test, this is a great thing that we use with the elderly. We put two chairs apart so far away. We ask them, get out of your chair, go over, sit down in that other chair, get back up, and come back and sit down in this chair. It sounds like kind of a mean thing to do, but we time them, and if they're doing it very slow, it's because they're worried about falling. Okay? Tinetti's balance test, Berg's balance scale, these are light measures where it's just a bunch of functional things like that, get up and go, that the lower their score, the worse their balance. And then there's computerized systems that are pretty cool nowadays, that they can kind of measure these strategies for ankle and hip strategies and based on your scores. And we have some toys upstairs that we check out that are kind of consistent with our balance scores. So what do we do to help people with balance? We try to find out why their balance is off, and then we try to correct it. We try to be really creative because balance training isn't the most exciting thing. It's almost as unexciting as a balance lecture, okay? Because remember, the key to adult learning is repetition. So when you bring people in and you ask them to do the same thing over and over again, time after time in the clinic because you think it's helping them, they will get bored. So you have to throw all these different cool toys at them that we'll show you today. And it's fun. It's fun for a little while until it gets boring. The frequency, intensity, and duration, how much you give them is dependent on the patient's condition and functional level. So are we going to give really difficult balance exercises to a frail old lady that's really high index for fall? No. So we have to adjust our balance measures and tools to their condition so it's not unsafe. As physical therapy technicians and physical therapists, do we ever cause harm?
No.
No, we would not do that. Okay. All this is telling you is we go easy to simpler, harder to more complex. You have to get creative. Here's different ways to do it. We go from a stable surface, a flat, hard tile floor, to one that now has an air pad on it. We have our arms abducted to 90 degrees, which gives you a higher base of support. You know those trapeze, those guys that walk the high wire with a stick, as opposed to having no stick at all, right? Eyes open, eyes closed, sitting versus standing. Bilateral or two-leg support, now you just have one. Small perturbations. Everybody remember what a perturbation is? Yeah, that's external measures or external force to take you out of your center of gravity, right? It's a fancy way of saying that I'm going to push you. But you could have other types of perturbations too. Cardinal planes, that's a really, you know, cardinal planes are your sagittal plane, your transverse plane. What's the other plane? Horizontal plane. Versus diagonal planes, right? And then static. This is probably where I think we do the most good for folks. We have them do it in a real static environment, and then once they get good and cocky at doing it, then we make it a real dynamic activity, okay? Patient education, safety first. Would everybody agree with that? Safety. I think the military just likes saying that. Safety first, folks. Safety first. Assess need for assistive device or added stability. If the person needs an assistive device to walk, they're probably going to need an assistive device for us to take them out of their center of gravity, right? Home evaluations. For some reason, people forget to talk to folks about these things. Loose rugs, slippery floors, stairs without railings, lighting. Educate the patient on the limits of balance. How long do we want them to do it? What time of day, environment, these types of things. And we're trying to teach them strategies to maximize their balance. All right, and we'll go over a lot of this stuff in the clinic. So crossover, these are agility drills that we give folks, and these should be pretty self-explanatory. And we'll go over these in the clinic. Shuttle walking's fun. Multiple direction changes during walking. Again, not difficult for a normal, healthy person. And you guys may be very bored by this when you try it in the clinic. But I guarantee you, you take someone with a head injury, someone with a traumatic brain injury, and you have them do some of these simple things, it's profound how difficult it is for them. Or someone with a cerebral vertebral accident or a stroke, and they're post-stroke, and you're asking them to walk in a straight line and step over a fountain soda cup 6 times, it's profound how lucky you feel like you are when your balance is good. Figure of eight walking around cones. Stepping up and down off a box 8 inches high. Stepping over bolsters placed on the floor. We just want to be there close to them, right? And you may have seen this in our more busier clinics like at Walter Reed, at Brooke Army Medical Center. You know where we're seeing balance issues big time? And it's just with our amputees, right? They're trying to get used to their prosthetics. And the simplest things, you know, they're really trying to get the muscle coordination and trying to develop some degree of proprioception for a false limb. So you see that high-speed therapist that's doing great things, holding on to the gait belt, and watching our brothers and sisters step over these bolsters on the floor. It doesn't look that difficult, but I can tell you it is. So initially we have them do one set. We evaluate to see if it's too easy. And we ramp down and ramp up. So this is a nice little drill. Tandem gait, tandem stance. Okay. Really takes you out of a different level of base of support. Here, my friend here is doing a single leg stance. And now here, single leg stance made just a little bit more difficult using a foamed beveled pad there. So we're trying to make easier, more difficult, and complex. Is everybody tracking with this? Pretty straightforward. Now, the cool thing about proprioceptive training is, what I do in the clinic is, if I have an ankle or a knee patient, typically post-surgical, and they need proprioceptive training, what I will write, because I have so much faith in my physical therapy technicians, as I write on my prescription plan, please implement proprioceptive training. And the good techs go in the back, they pull out all the cool toys, and you start to see them doing high-speed stuff because they have good imaginations and they know that they can have some fun with this, okay? So that's what it's all about, having fun with your patients and giving them at least 3 activities that's going to challenge them. So creativity, look, I'm still in my own thunder, right? He's on these balance pads. The students from last class had a cool little game where they were standing, single-leg stance on these foam pads, throwing a ball at each other, a heavy ball, and trying to knock each other off. Do you guys recall that? Those were the good old days, weren't they? Yeah. Nice. Perturbation training. There's that big term. Okay. Initial training, foam surface. No perturbation, no external disruptions of balance. Eyes open. And we have a nice progression. 10 seconds. You can work up to 20 seconds. Typically, I have people do everything for at least 30 seconds. If they're really good at it, then I make them do it for a minute. Okay, here's this high-speed Air Force lieutenant. I dare say she's in a position, a compromised position there. But she's a great American. Look at that. I don't know if I'd want to be providing perturbations with a wheeled platform with a single-leg stance. And, man, look at the separation of that big toe and that second toe. It's profound. Must be a habitual flip-flop wearer. She's probably from Hawaii. But here she's bilateral. And maybe her perturbations here, that high-speed term, by moving this wheeled platform slightly. Okay? I don't know if I'd want to move it too much. But how about, nothing could stop the United States Air Force. Look at that. She's got from cross legs to on her knees. That probably happened in a matter of minutes. That's amazing. But do you see the progression there? I love the United States Air Force. They took such good care of me as a young enlisted person. It was ridiculous. My house at Minot, North Dakota, as an E-4, was so much nicer than my house as an O-3E at West Point. So it was a great 4.5 years. All right. So here she is again. She's at it again. Oh, there's the rest of that person. So now she's got a good base of support here with that static box. And she's just... All she's trying to do is be creative here. And if she wants to make it harder, what can she do? I'm sorry? She could... close her eyes. How else could she make it harder? Add weight, definitely. There you go. There's this thing called the body blade. Ever see that thing, the body blade? You can have her shake that, which gives her kind of some external perturbations. Here's a wobble board. You guys will see this in the clinic. We're going to have fun today. It's going to be ridiculous. You're going to be like, I cannot believe Captain Laura gets paid this much money to do these things. You won't think that for yourselves, though. Perturbation training, important. Stance, progress from unilateral stance to quicker perturbations. AP, what's that? Nice. And ML? Thanks for clearing that up for me, sports fans. Then we'll do diagonals and we'll do rotations, okay? Early phase. We all have phases, right? Now, proprioception is one of these things that we can incorporate very early in the Baylor model if it's not unsafe, okay? But if they can weight bear, they have good motor control. Remember, I think, let's go back. That motor control is pretty early, right? And proprioception is kind of midline. But you have to have motor control before you go to proprioception, right? And then a little bit of strength would help too. So we don't want to put them in an unsafe environment when we're doing these proprioception. The problem is, what happens is a lot of times that proprioceptive step is just skipped. Someone will double tap, just kind of do a double step, right from, what do we say, from strength to endurance. So there's phases. So you can get them just going with progressively harder things as you move through the phases of healing, right? There's our rocker board. There's our BAPS board. I forget what BAPS stands for. Yeah, something like that. There's some high-speed term. We're going to carry a BAPS board up, and then we'll all know what BAPS means. But check out this guy. He's just having way too much fun there. We also use the BAPS board when people are sitting down and just rolling that thing around. Has anybody seen that in the clinic? Just to get multi-planar motion at the ankle, but it's also a pretty wicked balance platform. There it is. I forget this gentleman's name. He's a naval officer. He's an O3 lieutenant here. Hopefully he's made lieutenant commander and gone on to bigger and better things. But here's progressively easier to harder, right? Here, this is phase one. He's just orienting his ankle mechanoreceptors to direction and change, right? And now he's getting a little squirrely. He's feeling good. That unaffected leg staying close by, right? He's holding onto the wall. And now, look at him. This is crazy. He's ready to get back on an aircraft carrier and do great things. Here's a nice little star pattern that we use. Affected foot, unaffected foot. And you just reach out in all directions and see if you can maintain your balance. And how can we make this harder? Close your eyes. Add weights. Put your arms down. Very nice. You guys do not need me. What am I doing here? I'm taking the Army's money inappropriately. So there we go. Check her out. She's doing great things there. But chronic ankle instability is often the cause of no proprioceptive training. I don't know if you guys have sprained your ankle before and it just keeps on re-spraining and it doesn't take a lot to do it. And it seems like every time you sprain it, it just seems like it's getting worse and worse and it takes less and less to sprain it. Now you have to jog your memory. Did that high-speed physical therapy technician give you good proprioceptive exercises? Who's had chronic ankle instability where it sprains a lot? Anybody? Have you been given proprioceptive exercises? See, here we go. And I swear, I did not plant him into this audience. What's your name there?
Patty.
I'm sorry?
Patty.
Patty? Mr. Patty. Thanks for being my wingman there. That was awesome. So this is a couple different studies, one in 02, one in 06. Differentiated those with chronic instability and healthy controls. And what they saw is those folks with chronic ankle instability could not do these things very well because they didn't have the proprioceptive regard. Basketball players have a big problem with this. Basketball players, who plays basketball consistently in here? So you guys got game? So you know how when you jump, someone's foot is now on the deck where it wasn't before you jumped, and you come down, you step on it, you roll it. So proprioceptive training is humongous for those guys and gals. There she is again with her wide toes. This is a drill that we do. We call them steamboats. They're for all different things. If you have enough resistance, you could actually use this to strengthen the hip flexors. But I use this drill more to conduct proprioceptive training of the affected leg is the one that's not around the TheraBand here. And I'm telling you, what we do is we set up some resistance, and we have this person kick out quick enough to create miscues, and it makes it very difficult on this ankle and knee to keep, and then you get a nice wicked burn in your gluteus medius and maximus here to maintain a good balance of support. So typically we have them do 10 times or 30 times in each direction, and it's a nice little proprioceptive drill. We'll do that upstairs. Yes, please. Okay, did you have to do them?
Well, when I was instructed to do it for the patient, I was supposed to do it for
the
affected.
Okay.
And then when another person who had a patient told me to do it, she told me to do it for both.
Okay. Did everybody hear that question? That's a great question. And, you know, if their balance is really compromised to that one side, a lot of times what we do during our evaluations is do a single leg stance to the unaffected side, and they're rock solid. If I'm doing it for a purely a balanced component, oftentimes I will have them just do it to that single side. Okay, so the affected side, again, is the one that's on the deck, right? And the one that's pulling the tube for balance purposes is the unaffected. So to answer your question, if I'm really trying to catch that affected side up with the unaffected side or the uninjured side, I will have them do it just to that one side. Now, if it's for strengthening component, it takes a lot of muscular coordination, and you will get a definitive burn in your hip that's on the deck here. But at the same time, you're working both your hip flexors here and your hip abductors. So if it's for strengthening purposes, I like them to do both sides because you'll get strengthening. And believe it or not, you guys are going to see it. If you do your proprioception well, there's a definitive strengthening component to proprioceptive training because you have to have a lot of stabilizers involved. All right. How are we doing for time? Let's do a slide count here, sports fans. Ooh, we're making it. Okay. So a lot of these activities we're going to knock out in the lab. Okay, there's some pool activities. I'm not a big pool proprioceptive fan. If you can't do this in the pool, you're hurting for certain. Okay, here's a slide board and a fitter. Again, this fitter we'll get to play with. The slide board, not so much. This guy looks familiar. These are proprioceptive exercises you can try. Pretty tough. That one's not fun. But see how it's being creative? Hey, there they are again. Here's some proprioceptive training at the shoulder. How do you do it? Okay, weighted ball. I would probably have her close her eyes. What's LT doing here besides representing the Air Force? She's doing some perturbations. See, these are perturbations. Okay, typically have them close her eyes. They don't know which direction you're coming from. And we ask this young lady to keep that ball centered directly over her shoulder. So it's a static reference, right? Keep that ball where it's at. Here she is. She's in the quadruped position. Reposition her. Have her close her eyes. And here's LT creating some perturbations. Typically, they don't know where they're coming from, right? Swiss ball. Easy. Harder. It doesn't look hard, but that's hard for someone sometimes her age that has compromised balance. And there's that high-speed physical therapist with bad hair making sure she's safe. Okay. Some Swiss ball sit-ups. That looks hard. That's a high-speed November 9 tech student out in that hallway. There's our lab. I feel like I'm on Yahoo Maps, Google Maps. Okay, ready for it? Nice. I'm like, what happened? What did I miss? Okay, so where do balance exercise belong? Again, pain management, motion, motor control. Do you think you need good motor control to really have effective proprioceptive training? Yeah. And some strength. Some strength for safety purposes. Ooh, that's the best slide there is. Okay. Okay, let's do that one more time. Ooh. I messed it up. Okay. There it is. Ooh. See, I'm out of slide mode here. I ruined it.